Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Okay, why is he opening the show with Vanilla Fudge? Because bassist and singer Tim Bogert of Vanilla Fudge passed away on January 13th, and of course this song was used quite well at the climax of Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Salute to you, Tim. Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, are available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week, got through another 2 weeks. Hope you're staying safe, hope you're staying healthy, hope you're staying sane, hope you're being good to one another, and hopefully you got to watch some good cinema in the last couple of weeks, whether it's new material or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Before I jump into the show, and it'll be, well, twice as long as normal when I'm running solo, but... So last week, last Friday, it was a very long day in my household and here at work. A little after midnight, a week ago Friday morning, my father-in-law died. And I had found out the news before going into work, continued to come into work, record Stolen Moments, be on the air from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then came into the studio to record Film Sociology, got about 25 minutes into the show, and the computer hiccuped and the file was gone. And I kind of emotionally checked out. So I apologize for not having a show last week. And to everybody who contributed on Facebook and Twitter, we will read 2 weeks worth of titles on this week's program, I assure you. So thank you again. Thank you for being a part of the show. And telling us what you've watched, telling me and telling everybody else what you've been watching, and inspiring others to watch certain titles along the way. I couldn't do the show without you, especially in these times. So thank you for hanging in there, and can't wait to see until I'm comfortable enough to see a movie in a theater. Even though I've worked on a couple plays, I'm just not quite ready to do it cinematically. So anyway, hang in there. Thank you. And I will read you. We will get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a little bit. But opening this weekend in certain Our House facilities, and you'll have to check. I think they come available streaming a little later on. But we got two good films for you to look out for your playlist, and a short film as well. It's actually a good week for cinema. I'm happy about this. The first one being the film Supernova. This is a story of an aging couple played by Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci. Tucci is ill. We see Firth and Tucci going up the beautiful English countryside. I still got to find out where they shot this. Heading up on a little holiday. Tucci is not taking his pills with him. Firth is very, very, very concerned. Tucci is a writer. Firth is a concert pianist who is making his return to the stage after a long absence to take care of his partner. And they visit Firth's sister, and there's ulterior motives to what Tucci wants to do with the current situation that he is in. Tucci is working on a new novel, but he has some other ideas. You know, if you've seen enough of these films, or hopefully not, you've not experienced what it's like to go through somebody going through this. You kind of know how it's pretty much going to end. But what it has going for it are two beautifully grounded performances by Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci. A very, really lovely chemistry between the two. There's a great line where Tucci says, "I want to be remembered for who I am and not what I'm about to become." And writer-director Harry McQueen has done a really nice job of taking material, not making melodramatic, not making it over the top, not making it complete. It is a gut punch, but it's with an open hand as opposed to a fist, I guess, for lack of a better comparison. But it looks great, and the two performances are the main reason to go see this. It's a really, really nice piece of work, and especially tackling the subject. So Supernova, look for it. As well as the latest from IFC Midnight called The Night. Now, what has been cool over the last couple of years or so is we've seen thriller and horror films with a specifically angled cast. And what I mean by that, like an African American, we have an all African American cast. We have had an all Indian horror film. This one, the leads and most of the supporting players are originally from Iran. And it is it's about a couple played by, and I'm going to butcher these and I apologize, by Shahab Hosseini, who, if you remember, played the husband in the great 2011 drama A Separation, and Nyusha Noor. They are a married couple with a new baby. They have just gone out for an evening with friends, and a little too much booze, they wind up at a hotel to stay for the night, and things are not as they appear in the hotel. The AV Club makes notes that the film owes a little bit to Barton Fink and The Shining as far as scary movies in hotels, and this one enters into that category. As I'm watching this, and it's a well-done thriller. Another one where if you've seen enough of these, you know how it's going to sort of turn out. But you like, in this case, I enjoyed the journey along the way. This is one of those things where I try to tell students this. If you like it, it's an homage. If you don't like it, it's a ripoff. Well, I think these are homages to the spooky hotel films of lore, like Barton Fink, and especially in the case of The Shining. It's what happens when you try to let go of the past, or what happens if you do not, and the consequences that go with it. Anyway, nice performances by the two leads, and some nice creepy moments without getting too gory or too ridiculous. So look for IFC Midnight's film The Night. I also got to see a short film from Sweden from writer-director Jimmy Olsen. No, not of the Daily Planet, but a film called Alive, starring Eva Johansson. I hope I gotta get that corrected. One of these, I gotta correct myself whenever possible. Victoria is a woman bound to a wheelchair, with her caregiver played by Madeline Martin, called Ida. She wants a man, and the caregiver gets her a Tinder account set up, and it talks about how much a carer should intervene in an adult's life, and in this case, her patient who wants to get a guy. And it's some nice performances from the two, and there's a couple of nice laughs. It's only about 20 minutes long, but if you can, I got to see it on Vimeo, so look for it. But it's a short film from Sweden called Alive. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Going back to the list of various things I've watched besides the new material, which you just heard, last week I did finish Dolly, the Ultimate Collection, courtesy of Time Life Home Video. And I've now passed it on to my daughter. I'm really glad I got to watch a lot of this stuff, which I had never seen before. I vaguely remember her variety show in the 80s, but I was in high school and I was not watching Dolly Parton. I had already seen her in her films, which I've already reviewed on this program. The 70s music show was very cool, and I'd never seen the Porter Wagoner show. I only heard about it. And some of the stuff, some of the interviews I had seen before with her on Carson. I vaguely remember her on Oprah. And anyway, just everything you want to know about Dolly Parton interview-wise. There's a couple, like I said, there's a couple of fine concerts, two distinctly different styles of concert performances from Dolly, a BBC documentary. It's well worth it. This is a must-have if you're a Dolly Parton fan, and I'm really glad I got the chance to spend some time and go through this. And it cuts in the way to my other titles, but oh well, first world problems if you're a film show host. But yeah, look for, and of course, last week was her 75th birthday. Happy birthday to Ms. Parton. In fact, I finished the collection on her birthday, which I thought was very cool timing. So look for Dolly, the Ultimate Collection on Time Life Home Video. From Film Movement is a film called The Road to Mandalay, which is about two Burmese people, a guy and a girl, who do not meet cute. They are sneaking into Thailand looking for work and papers, whether they are legal or not. And what happens when their relationship frays when one does get some paperwork and the other does not? So you have the tension of the couple as well as the tension of whether they're going to get in or are they going to get caught. And there's a great dream sequence with her, with the girl who is pawed over by a kimono dragon when she's told to do some other work that might help her along the way. You also have a really lovely scene following that near the end about the simplicity of getting papers even after going through all of the hoops, physical or mental, that one has to jump through. And of course, a heartbreaking ending. So look for The Road to Mandalay. I'm still not giving it away. But on Film Movement. Also, from Cornith is a Finnish film called Open Up to Me, which is about a woman, a transgender woman, in her last session with her therapist. She's a cleaner. She was a therapist, was a school counselor, I should say. And in her spare time, now cleans offices and apartments. And a patient of her therapist, another patient, mistakes her for a therapist. And a relationship on the couch and off the couch begins. And as the film goes on, there's a really nice tangled web of interplay between Merritt, who is the lead, her past and the family that she left behind, as well as the man that she is consulting and the world that the man is in. Another fine example of you don't need to remake this film. It's fine as is. So look for Open Up to Me, a Finnish film courtesy of Cornith Films. Also from Film Movement, a really cool documentary called Queen of Hearts, which is a documentary about 88-year-old artist Audrey Flax, who had the great quote, "Human beings need art to deal with their immortality," and says, "I'm a feminist who is an artist." A woman who's been at it for over 40 years, started out in abstract expressionism in the 1950s, moved on to photorealism in the 1970s, and was apparently at the time the only female doing photorealism back in the 70s. So I'm a sucker for films about artists and the process that they have and the story and the fact that they also get to tell their story and open up to a new audience. And this film delivers all that, but it also has on top of that of a grown woman dealing with her daughter, her adult daughter, who has autism, and going to visit her, trying to deal with her at a young age. We get those stories on top of the, as we call the technical term, artist stuff. So another fine documentary from Film Movement, Queen of Hearts, about Audrey Flack. And I've jumped into the Essential Fellini collection from Criterion. Got to watch, I think I talked about this on the previous show, the next film in this collection is The White Sheik, music by Nino Rota. Like the film before, there's a certain running away and joining the circus. In this case, it's running away and joining the movies. We have a newlywed couple in Rome. They're about to visit his family when the bride has ulterior motives coming to Rome, and it's sneaking out of her hotel and meeting a famous movie star that she's had a crush on and is a big fan, goes to the studio and winds up becoming involved in the film and with the leading man of her dreams. So there's that aspect of it, as well as her new husband, who's trying to find out where she is. And like the other film, the fantasy element is not all it's cracked up to be. But it's a nice early picture from Federico Fellini. Look for The White Sheik. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. All right, friends, grab a pencil. We got 2 weeks of titles we need to catch up on. So we start, as always, via email by my friend Eric, who is wrapping up his Hitchcock Rewatchathon 2021. I believe he's wrapping it up. Maybe I just made that up. I don't know. But this is from last week. He watched 1955's The Trouble with Harry, deemed good, as well as the 1956 version of The Man Who Knew Too Much, which he deemed excellent. And then for non-Hitchcock, the outstanding 1955 French film Diabolique. So good stuff there, Eric. Thank you. Going back to Twitter, Josh writes, I started Transformers 5 and just couldn't follow through. Josh, it's okay. I think I stopped at the first one with Mark Wahlberg. I've lost count as well. Joe Bayline, wow, one of our WFYI Zone, says, City Slickers, Brian, WFYI Zone, Edge of Tomorrow and The Core, a.k.a. Groundhog's Day in Space, and Jules Verne rolls over in his grave. I understand that. Brian also said, oh, and I watched all the extended versions of Lord of the Rings. I'm much older now than I was last week. And it's my obligatory comment of saying, it's still ending. Chewy Walrus, Steven, writes, the Cloverfield and Blair Witch franchises, the filmography of Henry Selick, and assorted other films like Altman's Popeye, The Crow, the 1969 Italian Job, Virtuosity, Fritz the Cat, the original Get Carter, and Bill and Ted Face the Music. Nice stuff there. Also via Twitter, Lou Harris writes, Romance of the High Seas, Freaky Friday, the musical redo, and Twelfth Night, and a Mark Rylance all-male version. Yes, I've heard about that one, and I would love to see that. Tony writes, Civil War and After the Thin Man. Creighton writes, P.G. Psycho Gorman, Alice Sweet Alice, and In and of Itself, technically a stage production, filmed stage production, available on Hulu. Chewy Walrus again. The films of Bennett Miller, the Percy Jackson movies, the original My Bloody Valentine for an upcoming episode of @DisenfranchPod. There you go. Plus House, Eraserhead, Ocean's 8, and Wonder Boys. Planning to watch Amy Heckerling's over this next week. Very good. Jay Reed at @DaddyPants1220. Just finished Auntie Mame. Saw His Girl Friday before the end of 2020, and I wanted to see something else from Rosalind Russell. Very good. Surely Not Me writes Baby Teeth. Tina writes American Animals. Let's see, am I doing? John writes Oh Brother Where Art Thou? The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, The Dressmaker, and Bubba Hotep. Just as also shameless plug, check out Medium Cool, a movie podcast. You'll hear me on it yammering about all sorts of things. All right, switching over to Facebook from last week. Britt writes, Broken Arrow, Hard Rain, Chicago, Pulp Fiction, The Live-Action Lion King, and Three Men and a Baby. Jeff writes, Red Dog, a new documentary about a strip club, and Tennessee Whiskey, the Dean Dillon story. Taylor writes, The Madman and the Professor, Avengers Affinity War and Endgame, The Falcon's Brother, After the Thin Man, and Murder at the Gallop. Elaine writes, The Other Guys and Mr. Right. Keith writes, The Last Airbender. Sean writes, The Plumber. Lou Harry again writes Bundle of Joy, MacGruber, Showboat, Shattered, and King of Staten Island. John writes, oh, this is nice. Just so you know, I think about this question every week as I am scrolling, trying to decide what to watch. Well, thank you, John. This week, In a Lonely Place. Might be my favorite Bogey character. That is a really good one. I'm happy to own that on Blu-ray by Criterion. And, of course, if you mentioned In a Lonely Place, Tony Armstrong, obligatory Gloria Graham comment. Carrie writes, seriously, when I walk on our treadmill, I watch the weirdest choices for a workout. This week, What We Do in the Shadows, Cabaret, and Hairspray. Oh, that's all right, Carrie. You're not a weirdo. She wrote that. I did not. Daniel writes, One Night in Miami, Two English Girls, Married to the Mob, In the Mood for Love, Wild, and Hobson's Choice. Laura writes, I rewatch Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. Abby writes, Tommy and Tommy Boy. In that order? Jared writes, Schindler's List. Joe writes, Lockdown, Manhunter, and Cruel Jaws. Roxana writes, The High Note. Craig writes, Seven Psychopaths. Jonathan writes, Bad Times at the El Royale and The Big Sleep, the one from 1946. Michelle writes, Fury and Gladiator. Vicky writes, Rear Window. Nick writes, The Pledge, The Empty Man, The New Mutants, Let Him Go, Horizon Line, and Ali. Seth writes, Introduce the Kids to Galaxy Quest. Lisa writes, Intouchables. Julia writes, My Cousin Vinny and Sylvie's Love. Krista writes, One Night in Miami. Patty writes, Downton Abbey, the movie, Witness to Murder from 1954, and The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Joe writes, Nightfall Season 2 and Vikings Season 1. Don writes, News of the World. Kim writes, Ender's Game, Grandson Visit. And we are at 4 of 10 in the Last Dance series. Happy Thursday. Thank you, Kim. This was last week again. Rachel writes, Toy Soldiers and The Fellowship of the Ring Part 1. Craig writes, Juan, that's the original Grudge. William writes, Dark Waters. Lila writes, I got around to prom. Ugh. It was worse than actually going to prom. Then Bill Murray made that nice little movie with Sofia Coppola. Even though I saw the plot twist coming up West Broadway, I still liked it. Not a movie, but finished the Fran Lebowitz and Marty Scorsese's Pretend You're a City. She's always entertaining, and I don't think I've ever seen Scorsese belly laugh more. That is true, Lila, on that part. Roger writes, a couple of oldies for me that I like very much. First was Call Northside 777 with Jimmy Stewart. And then I saw Diplomatic Courier with Tyrone Power, Patricia Neal, and Carl Malden. Dana writes, I introduced Witness for the Prosecution to my boys. Just so amazing. Jose writes, Fitzcarraldo. Oh, there's speaking of Tony. Tony writes, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Elysium, and Run Lola Run. Brian writes, Mad Max Fury Road and The Current War. Melissa writes, Soul. John writes, What We Do in the Shadows. Dave writes, Shawshank Redemption and One for the Money. Claire writes, The High Note with Tracy Ellis Ross and Dakota Johnson. It was better than we expected, mostly due to inaccurate promotion. We also watched One Night in Miami, which led us to The Dirty Dozen. Claire, that it happens that way. One title just leads you to another, whether they make sense or not. Kate writes Cargo. Tim writes the remake of Ocean's 11. Doug writes One Night in Miami, Death Trap, On the Town, The Negro Soldier, Kiss Me Kate, and The Ernest Green Story. Marshall writes Marksman with Liam Neeson. Bob writes Meritarian. I have trouble saying that. Jay writes, watch one of our favorites last night. Be cool. Huh. Nancy, I own both. I'm more of a Get Shorty person myself. Nancy writes, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Best in Show, and Queen's Gambit. Not a movie, but fantastic. Joellen writes, Raisin in the Sun and Lilies in the Field. Each great films. JR writes, Tenet. Dylan writes, The Man from Planet X, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and Martial Law. David writes, Wizards and the Big Lebowski. Was that a double feature, David? Ken writes, Dark Passage. That's the one with Bogart and Bacall. Very good. Robert writes, Wonder Woman 1984, better than I was led to believe. One Night in Miami, fantastic, a rare movie that gets better with every passing minute. Shirley writes, as well as Pat, back-to-back, One Night in Miami. I believe Shirley and Pat watched these separately. Austin, Defy Bloods, Birds of Prey, Extraction, Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, Time, Blow the Man Down, Crypt Camp, First Cow, Wolfwalkers, and Wonder Woman 1984. Susie writes, Hunt for the Wilder People and Bridesmaids. Jason writes, Hang 'em High was better than I remembered. Yes, Jason, but what did you watch this week? I'm kidding. Gretchen writes, Saw 20th Century Women again. Aaron writes, I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but sadly was disappointed. We were not. Henry writes, The Bad Sleep Well, good Kurosawa Hamlet story. Ryan writes, Elizabethtown. Terry writes, Family Album, Love on the Run, The Bowery, Next of Kin, Family Viewing, You Are Not I, The President's Analyst, Zero Focus, and Run Lola Run. Mark writes, Last of the Mohicans and An American President. The latter was required viewing. We fight the fights that are worth fighting. Tom writes, Warning from Space, as well as Hammer's Hounds of the Baskervilles. Judy writes, Best of Enemies. And yeah, Judy, I just bought that film. I've seen it before, but I found it dirt cheap on DVD and hopefully going to get to that over the weekend. Jessica writes, Save Yourselves. Kelly writes, One Night in Miami and The Raven, the John Cusack version. Julie writes, 1917, very good, not a war movie. It was a journey movie that happened during a war. Thank you, Julie. Jennifer writes, the 1940 version of Pride and Prejudice. Joni writes, we've been enjoying All Creatures Great and Small on PBS. Lee writes, Sound of Metal, late in posting, but kept it on the list. I need my... Sound of Metal. I hear you. Mark writes, To Catch a Thief, which was entertaining but not one of Hitchcock's best, and The African Queen, one of Hollywood's oddest couplings I can ever recall, with Bogart as a river rat and Hepburn as an adaptable missionary. Not that adaptable early on, Mark, but I hear you. I see what you're saying. Susan writes, Crazy Heart and Hotel Rwanda. Hopefully that wasn't a double feature. James writes, A Virgin Among the Living Dead and The Vast of Night. Kathleen writes, oh, hi, Kathy, my cuz. She writes, Peter Rabbit. James writes, Wonder Woman 1984. Don writes, Easy Rider, History of Time Travel, Arctic, and Skylit Night. Joan writes, like a real sucker, I watched The American President. Just felt right to end the week with it. A girl can dream, can't she? Yes, dear. Emily writes, I've been working my way through some late 90s, early aughts films. Princess Diary and its sequel, George of the Jungle, Once Upon a Mattress, and Anastasia. It's been delightfully soothing. Kathleen writes, Forrest Gump, Gladiator, and The World of Henry Orient. Todd writes, The Peanut Butter Falcon. And Rachel writes, Apache. Those are from last week's list. Now we'll get to this week's list. We start with John, who writes The Sound of Music and Ben-Hur, also adding Netflix's Outside the Wire, as with most every movie I've watched made by Netflix, meh. Michael writes, we watched One Night in Miami this weekend. Great film, excellent cast, and a great directorial debut from Regina King. Frank writes, Slapshot for the 100th time. Nothing wrong with that, Frank. It technically is hockey season. Darlene writes, Life and Larry Brown. Joe writes, Predator, Where's My Roy Cohn, Friday the 13th, Part 7, and Terminator Dark Fate. Judy writes, Colwell and Fiddler, Miracle of Miracles, a very fun documentary about the history of the musical Fiddler on the Roof. Maria writes, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Melissa writes, Revisited Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. Cassie writes, Burlesque and Bridgerton. Dave writes, One Night in Miami. Evan writes, I watched every Kong movie. Well, of course you did, Evan. Did he watch them too? Jolene writes, My Octopus Teacher, an awesome documentary. Mrs. Sosie's with you on that one. I haven't gotten around to watching it, and I should. Brian Hartz, here we go. introduced BB to E.T., there was a lot of crying. Some of it was her. Thank you, Brian. Joshua writes, been enjoying older movies on Amazon Prime. Thelma and Louise, Deja Vu, Charlie Wilson's War. Remember, he learned Finnish for that job. Breach, Outside the Wire, Athlete A, Midnight Special, and Detroit. And Joshua, I just picked up Detroit on Blu-ray, so I'll add that to the pile. Eric writes, Safety Not Guaranteed. Jessica writes, Spell, Anna and the Apocalypse. Erica writes, we recently watched The Marrying Kind. It's a 1951 George Cukor film that was remarkably realistic for its art and director with overlapping dialogue, location filming, etc. It starred Aldo Ray. We got a special, we are proud to introduce the newest screen sensation credit at the end, even though it wasn't his first movie. And Judy Holliday was written by Ruth Gordon and Garson Cannon. I give it a solid 8. Thank you, Erica. Darren writes, Inferno. Roxana and Joan both watched Trial of the Chicago 7. Roxana going, it made me so angry. It was tough to watch. It'll be interesting to see how the precedent of this case of crossing the state lines to incite a riot will compare to the events of January 6th and how that will be tried. Mm-hmm. Rick writes, Indian Horse. Ray White writes, The Maltese Falcon. Linda writes, Terry Gross on Fallon tonight. Cool. Dustin writes, American Graffiti, The Ritz, Out of Africa, Witches of Eastwick, Biloxi Blues, Every Little Step, Tangled, and the 2020 TV miniseries Unorthodox. Linda writes, rewatched Emma and the Guernsey, hoping to hit Nomadland soon, at least, and the new Miami movie. Joe writes, One Night in Miami, All Creatures Great and Small, Miss Scarlet and the Duke, and Season 3 of Vikings. Joellen writes, Richard Jewell. Gretchen writes, The Wrong Man, the one with Henry Fonda. Sylvie's Love, fabulous movie. All Creatures Great and Small, Bridgerton, and The Last Czars. Sean writes, Soul and the 1962 Cape Fear. Patty writes, The Freshman from 1990, loved it, and Born to Kill, 1947, really didn't care for it at all. Steven writes, it's been a weird week. What We Do in the Shadows, The Strange Woman, You Only Live Once, Rocket Man, One Night in Miami, Murder by Death, and He Who Gets Slapped. Also watched a production of Chapandingas, hope I'm saying it right, from the Arts Center of Coastal Carolina, which is probably the best thing I saw all week. I think this coming week will probably be all about Cloris Leachman. And I'll talk about Cloris at the end of the show, Stephen. Thank you. Glenn writes, The White Tiger and One Night in Miami. Adam writes, Godzilla from 2014 and Kong Skull Island. Not Cull Island, Skull Island. David writes, News of the World. Carrie writes, Valentine's Day. Emily writes, I've been on an animated kick. The Emperor's New Groove, Pocahontas, and Tarzan. Denise writes, Tales from Earthsea and Spirited Away. Austin writes, and check out his podcast, Medium Cool. Go look for that. Regardless of who the guest is, that one blowhard named Sosie. Austin writes, News of the World, Let Him Go, Uncle Frank, Kajillionaire, The Platform, The Nest, Bad Education, Beanpole, Bakaru, Avengers Affinity War, Altman and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, Solo, Star Wars Episode 9, and Spectre. Thank you, Austin, and thank you for letting me be on two of your podcast episodes. I appreciate that. Go check out Medium Cool, fun podcast. Chris writes, Vast of Night, highly recommended. Bethany writes, Lion King, the original animated version, The Princess and the Frog, and the 1997 TV version of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella with Brandy and Whitney Houston. If it wasn't already obvious, a lot of our viewing choices are determined by the almost four-year-old. Bethany, to be fair, there's a lot of adults with no kids that watch stuff like this, too. It's okay. And it's okay. Andra writes, Places in the Heart. Kelsey writes, Mad Max Fury Road, an all-time favorite of mine. And Coraline, first time watching. Very good, Kelsey. And thank you for the pie. Very good. Yes, I have ladies bringing pies to my house. So what? Eric writes, Young Frankenstein, Farewell Cloris. Man, I right reading's a skill, friends. You know that? Molly writes, Class Action Park, the documentary about Action Park. I've mostly been watching episodes of Taskmaster. I don't know why, but it's the thing that's been most cheering and comforting. Molly, that's all we ask. So long as it's cheerful and comforting to you, I get it. It's okay. Andrew writes, Can You Ever Forgive Me?, which I then taught in my screenwriting class. I also listened to the audiobook read by Jane Curtin, which was fabulous, all caps. Craig writes, The Farewell, also Trans-Siberian. Kim writes, The Last Dance, finished it last night. Fascinating, engaging series, and I happen to not watch sports, but love sports documentaries and movies for some reason. Cheers. Thank you, Kim. Kirk writes, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. Jesse writes, West Side Story and Heartstone. Don writes, Friends and Hamilton. Jed writes, I watched the new collector's edition of Ghost Ship. Highly recommended. Also watched the Civil War horror film Grey Knight with Billy Bob Thornton, Martin Sheen, and David Arquette. Not bad for a film from 1993. Missy writes, Continuing with The Stand on CBS, binged the entire 20 hours of Making a Murderer, started on Castle Rock and The War on Grandpa. Jeff writes, I finally got around to watching Soul on Disney Plus. Great movie. Britt writes, One Night in Miami, the 2016 Ghostbusters, The Last of the Mohicans, Clueless, and Snowpiercer. Craig writes, Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell, as well as Rabid. Craig, was that a double bill? Tony writes, The Grand Illusion and All the President's Men. Daniel writes, Harlow, Call Me Buona, Murder by the Book, Witness for the Prosecution, The Man Who Watched Trains Go By, The Dead Zone, Reflections in a Golden Eye, whoo, Audrey, and Red. Taylor writes, Parasite, Train to Busan, been into Korean films lately. And Tony chimes in, Train to Busan, best zombie film ever. Nancy writes, Motherless Brooklyn and Uncut Gems. Doug writes, A Sound of Metal, Pieces of a Woman, Black is King, The Greatest Showman, 42nd Street, Showgirl in Hollywood, and Broadway Babies. Jose writes, Mountain Miner. William writes, Current War. Marshall writes, Marksman with Liam Neeson was good. Jarrett writes, One Night in Miami, St. Elmo's Fire, and Everybody's All-American. David writes, The Trial of Chicago 7. Terry writes, The Devil Doll, The Dark Pass, and the short films of Bill Plimpton, plus the picture of Dorian Gray. James writes, The Erotic Rites of Frankenstein and Orgy of the Dead. James, was that a double feature? Dylan writes, Vicious Lips. It was something, he writes. Reanimator, Martial Law, and Big Trouble in Little China. I've been introducing a friend to the staples of cult films. It's been a fun ride watching someone else watch them. I got a 19-year-old. I know exactly what you're talking about. Moveen writes, Dance Girl Dance, 1940, with Lucille Ball and Maureen O'Hara, as well as Babylon Berlin, Season 3. Mason writes, Paddington 2, with a career-best Hugh Grant. Pat writes, The Burbs, In and of Itself, Batman, and Bill. Kara writes, Solo. Melissa writes, Tony was shocked to learn that I hadn't seen 28 Days Later, so we watched it. Definitely an interesting film to watch during a pandemic. And Melissa, I'm going to take your word for that. Clay writes, Yvonne DiCarlo Day on TCM this past Sunday. Crisscross with Burt Lancaster and Death of a Scoundrel with George Sanders and Zsa Zsa Gabor. I went before Munster Go Home came on. Vicky writes, I finally watched Bombshell. Todd writes, Harriet. Christopher Wright, Chris Lloyd, Malcolm and Marie, Supernova, The Little Things, Spring Breakers, and Palmer. Teresa writes, Night School, Jumanji, also she writes in parentheses, The One with the Rock, The Help, Pitch Perfect 3, and Hidden Figures. Michael writes, Revenge of the Nerds. Has the film aged well? Kara writes, One Night in Miami. Cheryl writes, binge-watched last season of American Horror Story and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Hey, Andy writes, Resistance. Before watching it, I had no idea it was Marcel Marceau's story, recommended by someone who grew up with family horror stories of the Holocaust. Understood. Michelle writes, Ghostbusters, Gladiator, Godzilla, Grumpy Old Men, and Grumpier Old Men. In the G's of your collection, I see. All right, Megan. Megan writes, what are films? What's watching films? What's all this that you speak of? Hashtag back to college as an adult. Well, keep at it, Megan. The films always be here for you. Vicky writes, Kramer versus Kramer and the Great Santini. Not Kramer versus Kramer and the Great Santini. Hannah writes, On the Town and Brick. Anthony writes, The Silencing. 3 stars at most. Taylor writes, The Madman and the Professor, Sean Penn's best work. Michael writes, The Blue Dahlia, Alan Ladd, Veronica Lake, and William Bendix. Lawrence writes, Was a good week for movies. Watch Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time, Hungary's exquisite submission for Best International Film at the 2021 Academy Awards. The quirky and surprisingly poignant Greek entry for the same, the film Apples, Darling Little Sundance premiere of Coda. Grace writes, Howard's End. No idea why and not sure what to make of it, other than I could watch Emma Thompson perform anything and be happy. Jessica writes, 9 to 5, totally holds up. Jenny writes, America's Sweethearts, 2 Weeks Notice, Mr. Right, and Cold Mountain. And finally, Thomas writes, finally got to Ma Rainey. Glad you got to do that, Thomas. And there you go, friends. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you're watching some good films, films that are new or at least new to you, as well as old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. In the shameless plug department, check out the podcast Medium Cool. Actually, Film Yap presents Medium Cool, a movie podcast. It's with Austin Glidden and Joe Shearer, and we are discussing the top films of 2020. Part one is already up, and part two will be up, I guess, next week. So if you want to hear long-form movie nerddom, check out Medium Cool. It's a lot of fun. That was a fun Sunday of technology and movie talk, I assure you. So anyway, it's courtesy of the Film Yap, Medium Cool, a movie podcast. So check that out. And I want to raise a glass to a few folks that passed away recently, to dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. Screenwriter Walter Bernstein passed away at the age of 101, blacklisted writer from the 1950s. Best known going back to did a lot of writing for television in the 50s before getting blacklisted, and then was able to make a had some uncredited work, but noted screenplays include Heller in Pink Tights, Paris Blues, Fail Safe, The Molly Maguires, The Front, that was probably his first film that I got to see, uncredited work on The Train, but the Woody Allen film that was directed by Martin Ritt. So it's one of the few Woody Allen films starring Woody Allen, but not directed by Woody Allen. Did The Front in 1976, Semi-Tough in 1977. Oh, favorite of Bob and Tom, The Betsy from 1978. An Almost Perfect Affair, Yanks, Little Miss Marker, The House on Carroll Street, and The Couch Trip. All of those written by Walter Bernstein. And, of course, we lost two great ladies of not just the screen, but stage and television. Cloris Leachman passed away on the 26th, the age of 94. And what did I watch when paying tribute to her? You got to watch these in this order. The Last Picture Show, which she won Best Supporting Actress for, and then Young Frankenstein. Don't watch it the other way around. But this woman got her money's worth out of life in her career. First credit going all the way back to the 1940s, was a part of the Actors Studio, did a slew of TV, and then breaking into movies with the memorable opening scene of Kiss Me Deadly from 1955. Also appeared in The Rack. Again, slew of television from the 50s and 60s. And got the big break playing the coach's wife in Peter Bogdanovich's The Last Picture Show in 1971. And oh, I almost forgot. She played Agnes. She had the one great scene as the prostitute in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Lover and Other Strangers, WUSA, and The People Next Door, and then The Last Picture Show, among other things. Watching her open up from just kind of small town high school coach's wife to a sexual butterfly and what happens when a teenage boy clips her wings. Very heartbreaking. Other noted films included Charlie and the Angel, Dillinger, Happy Mother's Day, Love, George, Daisy Miller. That's another one I own, and it's not good, but I should revisit it anyway because it's fascinating. Of course, Frau Blücher in Young Frankenstein. Crazy Mama, which I still, I need to revisit that again because there's the Mama trilogy. You have Bloody Mama with Shelley Winters, which I just bought on DVD. And Big Bad Mama with Angie Dickinson. And, of course, Crazy Mama from 1975. Of course, in TV, she was Queen Hippolyta on Wonder Woman. And, of course, Phyllis from Mary Tyler Moore and her own show. And I forgot she was one of the voices in The Mouse and His Child, Nurse Diesel in High Anxiety, The North Avenue Irregulars, The Muppet Movie, Scavenger Hunt, Herbie Goes Bananas, Fooling Around, History of the World Part 1, was a voice in My Little Pony, the movie, was in the 80s version of Hansel and Gretel, the fairy tale theaters production. The other thing is her career is so long. You know, she tapped into many different generations for various things that I've already mentioned. The Facts of Life, Prancer, Texasville, played Granny in the film version of the Beverly Hillbillies. Of course, was the old lady on the bus and the plane in Beavis and Butthead to America. Music of the Heart, Touched by an Angel, Ellen Show, Alex and Emma, Spanglish, Sky High, The Longest Yard. Of course, was the grandmother. Well, played a lot of grandmothers, but in Malcolm in the Middle, Beer Fest, the voice of Doofenshmirtz's mother in Phineas and Ferb, was Mama in Raising Hope. The Croods, the Oogie Loves, you always have to mention the Oogie Loves whenever possible. And the English version, one of the voices of the old ladies in Ponyo, and the remake of The Women, and Creative Galaxy as well, and Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. I mean, and of course, Croods, the New Age, came out earlier this year. So salute to Cloris Leachman. Got your money. Oh, and if you get a chance, if you ever find it, her roast on John Stamos. You know, the running bit has been, if you need a dirty old woman and Betty White's not available, you go for Cloris. See if you can find what she says about John Stamos at a roast. Just putting it out there. And, of course, we heard about the death of Cicely Tyson, who was just being interviewed by CBS as well as NPR and passed away at the age of 96. First uncredited work was in the film Odds Against Tomorrow. Did some TV and then started popping up in films like A Man Called Adam, The Comedians, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. And I got to revisit her Academy Award nominated performance in Sounder. So good. So, so good. And warts and all. Not afraid to not glammed up. And lovely chemistry with Paul Winfield and Kevin Hooks. Winfield, of course, got a Best Actor nomination for that film. The Tony and Emmy Award winner also did the autobiography of Miss Jean Pittman, was in The Bluebird, Roots, A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich, re-teamed up with Paul Winfield for the miniseries of King, A Woman Called Moses, Bustin' Loose. That was the first thing I probably saw her in 1981 with Richard Pryor. And then, of course, played the elder ladies in films like Fried Green Tomatoes, Hoodlum, Ms. Scrooge from television in 1997, Always Outnumbered, Because of Winn-Dixie, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, Madea's Family Reunion, Why Did I Get Married 2, The Help, Alex Cross, had the one heartbreaking scene in Last Flag Flying, A Fall from Grace, and was in the TV series How to Get Away with Murder, as well as Cherish the Day. And in a special place in my heart, won an Emmy, I believe, or Tony, I should say, I believe is the oldest Tony Award winner for the revival of The Trip to Bountiful, which was also made into a TV movie in 2014. And I've not really anything to do with her, but I got to direct The Trip to Bountiful twice. So the fact that there was an all-African-American cast. And that show happened. I got to see a production of it in Cincinnati. And the fact that she got to do it on Broadway. Theaters all across the country got to do a revival of that show, as well as the TV version, which is just lovely. And she will be missed. They will all be missed. So salute to the ladies and to Walter Bernstein. I want to end with a little more music this week, and you're going to hear this on the Blues House Party. But we're going to hear music from the film Sounder, songs and music by Taj Mahal, who also has a nice supporting role in it. So anyway, hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And thanks for hanging in there. Again, sorry about the technical snafus on last week's show. And hopefully we'll get some special guests or some old friends on the show very soon. So anyway, until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!